literally just remembering that I've had my body since the day I'm born. Like, it has grown from a tiny sized baby to what I'm now. Like, isn't that incredible? Just this. And it has healed me. It has digested all of my food. It has been always supportive of me and evolving through my disorders and all of this. And I'm still here. My body has shifted, shape-shifted for me to be here and healthy. So I'm like, wow, I appreciate this and you so much. That's what I say to my body.
Welcome to Weighing In on Happy, the only podcast that dives deep into discussions around weight, eating disorders, mental health, body image, intuitive eating, wellness, confidence, and so much more. Each week, you'll be coached through different stories and strategies on how to start living your best life today. So, if you're ready, here's your host, Victoria Evans.
This episode of Weighing In on Happy has been brought to you by my one-on-one coaching program, 90 Days to Food Freedom. If you're ready to go from defeated to empowered, learn how to listen to your body, feel confident in your skin, and stop all your food fear and guilt so that you can eat effortlessly and intuitively, then definitely check out my website at www.victoriaevansofficial.com/programs, where you can find out how to work with me. Now, one last thing before we hop into this amazing episode. If you could please take just 2 seconds on Apple to leave me a 5-star review, it would mean the absolute world to me. So please do that now. Again, it just takes 2 seconds, and I would thank you so, so much. Hey, you guys, just a quick note before we dive into this episode. I want you to be aware that in this episode, we use the word exercise, but this can simply be swapped out for the word intuitive movement. It's whatever fits best for you. Intuitive movement is the practice of connecting with your body and its internal cues and using that to determine what type of movement, how long, and the intensity you'd like to engage in. It also incorporates mindfulness by being present in whatever movement you choose to do. So, as I said, we use the word exercise, but feel free to swap that out for the word intuitive movement. Hey everyone, welcome back to Weighing In on Happy. I'm Victoria Evans, an intuitive eating coach, and I am joined today by Katie Angela. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here today. It's an honor to be here once again with you.
So you were on the podcast last year.
I was.
And everyone loved it. But for those who didn't get a chance to listen to the episode, could you tell us a little bit more about who you are and your eating disorder recovery journey?
Absolutely. So I've actually evolved a lot since the last time I was on your podcast. But, you know, my mission and my goal hasn't really changed that much. I am an eating disorder recovery advocate. I recovered from anorexia and orthorexia and a bunch of disordered eating habits, really. And now I create a lot of content, mostly on TikTok, and I do a lot of Instagram as well. And I just try to help people, you know, recover, motivate them, and give them hope that recovery, full recovery, I would say, is possible. And I actually do modeling as well, and I'm loving my body through the process, and it's just been really amazing. And for my journey, I basically started out as a ballerina, went through a lot of body dysmorphia issues, and that's where the disordered eating started, because it was kind of a toxic environment at the time. And it kind of all escalated to a very serious restrictive disorder, which later on I got diagnosed with the anorexia. And that went on for a few years because I was really deep into it, and I was actually in denial for a very long time as well. But I did finally accept help. I got treatment. And when I did recover and worked on recovery, I always had this feeling that I would help people one day through it, because it was so lonely, and I didn't want others to feel that way. So, you know, I kept working hard, and that's when I got the motivation to actually speak up about it and share my journey to help people.
I love it. And you have such an amazing story, and what you share, whether it be on Instagram or TikTok, is so inspirational in the way that you connect people with people and make them just feel really heard and understood. Like, you're truly changing lives. So the fact that you're able to go through your recovery journey and then share and just hold space for people online is just amazing.
Thank you so much. That's what I try to do. And sometimes I forget that I actually help people, because it's all online, right? So you don't really feel the impact that much. Mm-hmm. But whenever I get DMs or people coming and talking to me, it makes it all feel worth it, you know?
For sure. And even the way I think about it as well, like depending on how people are viewing your stories or watch it, it's like, if you were to think about the number of those people, like sitting in a room or like, yes. you know, if you're in a theater, like if someone's talking about it, it's like 30 people saw your post or it's 30,000 or whatever. Like, could you imagine if there was a stadium filled with 30,000 people who read your post? Like, it's pretty crazy when you kind of think about it in that way. Whenever I think about like impact and who I'm talking to, or even if it's one person in a classroom, you know, that you're sharing your yes. story with and whose life you helped, like that's enough, right?
That's absolutely enough. And I need to do that more sometimes, you know. I think it's a good reminder. Yeah, for sure.
Amazing. So I actually wanted to dig into something today that I've never really talked about on the podcast, which is exercise having gone through recovery. So exercise during recovery can be kind of complicated, and that's not necessarily what we're going to talk about today. I want to kind of talk about like on the other side of it and what it looks like when it's you're gaining weight, having gone through eating disorder recovery. And so for you, what does your current relationship with exercise look like having recovered?
Mm-hmm. So right now, you know, gyms are closed here in Canada, unfortunately, and it has, like my relationship with exercise has evolved because of it, because I used to go to the gym about 3 to 4 times a week as a recovered person. But if I go back in time, you know, I was, like I said, a ballerina. So I was always like pretty much addicted to my art form, but also to exercise and movement. And so when I was struggling, dance actually became a form for me to burn calories, you know, and do the behaviors that my anorexia disorder told me to do. And it just was really restrictive and obsessive. Throughout the first 2 years of my recovery, I would say it shifted a lot, and it was quite a roller coaster because I did stop for about 6 months right at the start to just heal. And then I just felt the need to compensate for all that rest. So it was just like a constant roller coaster of going hard and then resting because I had no choice, and then going hard because I felt guilty, and then resting. And I would say like the third and fourth years of my recovery were way more stable. I learned a lot of information about my body and what works well for me. And I actually stopped dancing just to see, you know, if that was the right choice for me, or if my dancing passion was associated to restrictive behaviors, which it was. So I stopped dancing just to heal. And right now I've been going to the gym a little bit. Since it's closed, I had to stop for a while, but I'm hoping to get back into it. But my workouts are a lot more relaxed. You know, I'm not stressing myself out with exercise. It's been super, super positive, I would say.
That's amazing. And to hear that you can go from that level of kind of intensity and like that all or nothing to having some balance and like taking rest, but excited to get back into it from like a really positive space. And I know for myself, like it used to be so obsessive. Like I was going in the morning, then I was going after work, I'd be going at lunch. Yep. Like
I know.
And it can be really hard, like, you know, for you as well, when you create so much of your identity around it. So like as a dancer, for me, it was like, oh, Victoria's going to the gym again at lunch. Like I became that girl who did that. So, you know, exercise can be as a form of punishment, but also as a form of identity. So kind of finding who we are when we're not that person. And I think that, you know, through the pandemic, when people haven't had access to gyms, it's really challenged people and forced them to be like, you know, like, who am I if I don't have this body and I'm not hitting the gym all the time, which can be really difficult.
Yes. And I think that if the past version of me would have been going through this current pandemic, like it would have been insanely hard because I would have had nothing. And I know that if I would have been struggling in this period of time, like I would have had no choice but to heal and recover. Whereas before I was just like hanging on to that denial mindset, you know? And I think that this pandemic and just the situation forced us to adjust and to like learn about our bodies, especially when things are literally closed. You have no choice but to figure it out, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that you're right, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I think there's been such a like a slowing down and getting still and getting honest. And when we don't have so many distractions and so many things that are, you know, making us feel so busy and making us feel like you have to go here and there, it's like, what is underneath all of that? And you know, a lot of the time this desire to exercise is fueled by like insecurity and trying yes. to compensate for calories versus the celebration of our, what our body can do. And for me, you know, like when I'm lifting heavy weights, I'm like, I feel so fucking empowered and like so strong. And like I hit it, I'm just like, whoa, like I feel so good. But before it was never about feeling good in my body. It was about mm-hmm. how many calories can I burn? I remember even one time that I had been out all night partying, had done a bunch of lines of coke. I was a total man in Montreal and in Montreal where you are. And I was like, ended up at this random people's house. Like it was super sketchy, hadn't slept all night, but in the morning we ordered a bunch of food in like Uber Eats and I hadn't eaten like all day, all night. And I was so hungry. And I ate like this huge like thing of like bagel and like, you know, like little potatoes and like ketchup and all these things, and I had immediate freak out. And I remember at like 6 a.m., the gym had just opened, like walking from their apartment. And I was like in like a see-through top and like jeans and heels. And I like went home so quickly, like threw on workout clothes and then ran to the gym. I hadn't slept. I was still high, but I was, and then I was decided I would do 1,000 calories on exercise machines because that was my punishment for having eaten. And I still think about that being like on the machine still having coke in my body and like having had pre-workout and being like, I think I'm gonna have a heart attack, but I don't fucking care. I'm so surprised I don't have heart issues after how much I put my body through, because like, oh my god. But yeah, it can take over your life if you're not careful.
I can so relate. I mean, it wasn't the same situation, but I have had many, you know, times when I would go to the gym at about 6 p.m., come home at 9. So like a 3-hour cardio session, which is, I don't recommend it.
Yeah. No.
And then I would come home, stretch. I would hit the treadmill because we had one at home once again.
Oh my God.
Do yoga. Wake up at like 4, go to the gym. You know, it was just crazy. It was too much. And I was sick. And this is the scary thing about exercise, is that, like we said, right, if your identity is associated with this, it's so easy to get addicted, because you get your worth feeling through that practice. And like, if you miss it a day, or if you stop for a while, you just lose yourself because you've poured so much energy into it. And then you're so lost, you know, without it.
Yes. Oh, and I remember the feeling of thinking I had to go do a workout. It was like this heavy sinking, like I was in trouble feeling, like me punishing myself, the victim of myself, being like, oh man, like I have to go work out this afternoon. Like, I don't want, like, and it was like me doing it to me, but I was like relentless. Like, it was like, you have to go do this right now, suck it up. But also like, please don't make me go. And it was horrible. And like, exercise should never feel like this, such a heavy, horrible, like punishment feeling. Like, that's not what it is. It's a celebration of like my body and what it can do, and this like exciting thing that you look forward to when it's a positive way. But so many of us, we look at exercise in such a punishment form, and we'll do things that we don't even enjoy. Like me staring in the mirror, like lifting a dumbbell. Like I never enjoyed that. Like maybe some people do, and that's amazing. But like I found CrossFit and like, I'm like, I love it. You know, it's awesome. And so different things work for different people. Like I have some other clients, one, she's doing pole dancing classes and she's like loving her life. I'm like, that's amazing. So yeah, finding exercise that feels good for you. And maybe it's not the stand in the mirror, you know, watching yourself lift. Maybe it is, but giving yourself the opportunity to explore as well.
Yeah. And I've recently, because I've been working out at home, I've recently discovered like you can find YouTube videos and the girls are like dancing and twerking. Like, yes. And it's so fun. And I'm trying to follow them. And it's like, honestly, really it's a great workout for the legs. And it just makes you feel like feminine and nice in your body. And I love it. And sometimes I just don't work out for a few weeks, to be honest, and I just take it super easy. And then I actually appreciate my body way more sometimes when I rest, because I'm like, wow, you are beautiful, and I'm just gonna let you chill and heal whatever you need to heal, and it feels good too.
I love that. I love that you brought up the dancing. I dance all the time. Anyone has ever seen me on Instagram, you know, I'm dancing like 99% of the time. It's so fun. But yeah, I love looking up burlesque dancing, like, yeah. So kind of similar to that, like so fun, so empowering. I look up how to shuffle because I think that's just like the most fun thing ever. And then I've done those like dance workout things, and like whether or not it's like a dance workout or just like learning how to twerk, that is so hard on your quads. Like,
I know,
it's like you're literally fully in a squat and then you're just bouncing in a squat, and I'm just like, this is difficult. Like, I have so much more respect for people at clubs. Okay, girl, like bring them some water over when they finally open. Like get it.
Okay. Yeah. Are your quads all right?
Get them a power bar, like fuel up.
That's so funny.
I'm gonna pass out Gatorade at clubs now. Girls. Oh, which kind of brings me into my next question for you, which is around fueling our body for exercise. And so often we think it's like almost like a game of how little calories can we get away with when it comes to exercising, which is like the total wrong way to think about it. And so how has, you know, adding in more food to your diet as you've increased exercise, what's that been like?
Yeah, you know what? I was actually, if you would have told me about a year ago that I'd be like really excited to gain weight, I would have actually not been sure if I believed it, because like last year, for example, I went through a phase where I was like really into fitness and then dance, because I kind of started again just to see and test it out. And it was hard because I did get some, I don't know if it's PTSD or flashbacks, but I did get some moments of like insecurity about my body, and this is things that I didn't think I would ever feel again, because I was so happy in my recovery. And in about July, so about like a few months ago, I was just like, I'm gonna shift my mindset. And I got a lot of help from my loved ones who were like really pushed me and encouraged me to just be who I am and stop trying to fit into a mold, you know, of like one type of body. And so I kind of switched it up. I increased my food, not by counting calories, not by whatever dieting, I just decided to eat more, like bigger plates, that's it. And I was really excited because my body felt like it needed it, first of all. And second of all, I was going to the gym because it was open for a bit before the restrictions. And I was realizing that I was just like performing so well at the gym. I could squat, deadlift, you know, do just crazy hip thrusts with so much weight. And it was because of the food. Mm-hmm. It was because of all the food I was eating. I was just feeling so strong. And I remember when, like you said, I was, you know, the punishment type of thing. When I was sick, I would go to the gym starved and like just feel like see stars all around me and feel like I was about to faint.
Yes.
So it's been a really beautiful experience. I just feel really strong now, and eating more has been way less scary than I thought. Like, I used to think that by eating more, I would just gain so much weight forever. And it's not true. You know, I just got my set point weight and I just have been really happy. And that's it. It's not even scary.
Mm-hmm. I love that you mentioned like the performance change in increasing food. I could not believe the shift in what I was capable of doing, because I was so caught up in the vanity metrics of trying to look a certain way that I didn't really care about the performance aspect of feeling good. So like you said, yes. I was just like seeing stars, but it was okay because you could see my abs because I hadn't eaten all day. Like, and it was just terrible. Like, I was so grumpy and like someone was on the machine too long. Like, if looks could kill, like I was just not a nice person in the gym. I remember this one guy came up to me and he's like, "You look like you're so mad all the time. You should smile more." And I was like, first of all, never tell him to smile. But I remember that always stuck with me, because I was like, I always looked so angry because I was so hungry at the gym.
Yes. Same.
And then, yeah, especially when I keep going back to CrossFit, when I got back, like I got into CrossFit about a year and a half ago, and I was like fueling myself before and after workouts, like I was smashing PRs. Like, I was competing like at such a high level and like ranking well in like these different workouts. And I was like, shit, like I could never have done any of these things. And another kind of side point on that is, we so often think that, you know, health and strength and everything is like a very particular body type. And when I looked super fit, I had never been unhealthier. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I know. I agree. I was looking a certain way, which I thought was, you know, fit and strong and whatever, but I actually also had body dysmorphia. But I was so unhealthy. I was like, my health was just degrading and I was just damaging myself and my body and my mental health. And that's the thing. Like, people think health is a size, health is a body type. It's not true. We all have a different definition of health that's customized to our body. And that's something I had to learn. You know, I always thought I was supposed to be skinny or whatever, like a certain type of body, like very athletic looking and lean, but I am actually way more happy when I have more weight on my body. And I had to learn it the hard way. Mm-hmm. But I just feel better. I'm happier. Gaining weight has just made me become who I am. Like, just overall, my whole life has shifted. And like you said, I used to always be mad because I was hungry, and being hungry could make us super, super moody. Mm-hmm. And that's not a thing anymore. I'm not always feeling good, but most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even as a former ballerina, like when I was dancing, I had thighs that were muscular, and mm-hmm. I could jump so high, and
yeah,
you know, it made me such a great dancer. But if you looked at it from an aesthetic point of view, I didn't fit, you know, the body. So I was considered a bad dancer in auditions, even if I could jump higher and do a whole choreography, you know, like way better, because I had so much energy and strength. Just because I didn't look the part, you know, I wasn't considered great. And that's the thing, like, looks don't mean anything when it comes to ability. It's so irrelevant, and it's sad that people think this way, you know?
Yeah, like athletic ability, and then, like you were saying before, even like overall happiness.
Yeah,
it's we get into our head that like smaller is better, and you know, athletic is happy, and it's like, is that actually what our body is meant to be, and what we're supposed to, you know, be eating to get to? Like, it's, yeah, like you said, finding that set point, and that's eating intuitively, and like allowance and permission, and having rest, and, you know, leaning into emotions and how we're feeling and all those kind of things. Like, it's such a holistic thing. But knowing, like, when you get to that set point, you feel happy and healthy because your body's happy and healthy. And of course, there might be a couple like mindset shifts around like allowing yourself and appreciating yourself in that body. Mm-hmm. But overall, like, when you're not hangry all the time, when you're not like restricting and punishing, like, it's such a different way to live.
Yes. I think that, you know, we can't be our best selves with an empty stomach. Like, we just can't. And the fact that I think we both went through something similar with exercise, and the fact that we're now like embracing our current body and just being strong at the same time and loving exercise is beautiful, because that takes a lot of work, and it's a process. It happens not in a day. It happens over months, years, weeks, whatever. We all have our different journey, but a lot of work has to be put into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, gaining weight is okay. Gaining muscle is okay. Like, I love the fact that I take up more space and my muscles are bigger. And like, even like, I have very broad shoulders. Before, I was like, oh, I look really masculine. And like, now I look like a beast. Yeah. Like, I feel so strong. And like, my quads, I was like squatting my dog the other day because I thought it was funny. It was like 110 pounds. I'm like, it was hilarious. Like, it's so cool when you can start to like appreciate your body, even though it didn't necessarily look like the body you thought you would appreciate. And so with that, what has helped you to appreciate your body?
So what has helped me embrace and love my body over the last few months has been to work with my love language, which is physical touch. So a lot of baths, yoga, comfy clothes, massages, you know, like, all of that has been so wonderful for me, because I learned to work with what I like, what I appreciate the most, which is this type of self-care. And, you know, I've really learned to make time for self-care. Like, I am somebody who can just work for hours. I can go into that mode, that workflow, when you just can't stop. And it's dangerous sometimes, because I get so motivated and driven that I like literally forget that I'm a human with needs. So a lot of self-care has been essential. And I just really had to stop comparing myself and work on my confidence, because I had a lot of insecurities. And whenever I would go on social media and compare my body to another, I would literally force myself to say, I'm enough. Like every time I would think that, I would like force myself to say that mantra. And that has helped me embrace what I have, because sometimes on social media, like what we see is not even real. Like there's poses, there's angles, there's filters, there's you name it. You know, you can change your body even in videos now, from what I've heard, with apps. So it's like, at the end of the day, like the reason why we may not love our bodies is probably just because we think that somebody else has it better, or you know, that that self-hate comes from not feeling enough. And the fact that we can reinforce the belief that we are enough is going to truly change our lives.
I think self-care is so important. Like I love that you brought that up, because yeah, especially like so many women who I work with, it's very like that go, like really high achievers, which also paints this kind of all or nothing mindset around a lot of things. And it's like, you're working super hard till you burn out, or you go to the gym so many times until you're just like, you can't move anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, the eating has to be perfect, or, you know, fuck it, I might as well eat all the cookies because I had one thing I shouldn't have had. Yeah. Exactly. Like it's like very extreme. And so realizing like, yeah, actually I need to take that time for self-care and like slow down, which can be so challenging for people to take that time. Mm-hmm. But that's what we need to do to appreciate ourselves and like connect with ourselves. Cause otherwise, like you're not going to connect with yourselves if you're just going 100 miles an hour. Like it's impossible. You need to slow down.
We need to slow down. And something else that has helped is just literally just remembering that I've had my body since the day I'm born. Like it has grown from a tiny sized baby to what I'm now. Like, isn't that incredible? Just this. And it has healed me. It has digested all of my food. It has been always supportive of me and evolving through my disorders and all of this. And I'm still here. My body has shifted, shape-shifted for me to be here and healthy. So I'm like, wow, I appreciate that, this and you so much. That's what I say to my body.
That's so beautiful. I'm going to start saying that too. Yes. And so what would be some tips you could give us around how to move our body and exercise in more of a positive and not a destructive, punishing way?
Mm-hmm. There's one simple trick I always say to people. If you think about working out, or it can be anything else, like a decision that you have to make, and if you feel like your energy is like pulled forward and you're feeling really like refreshed when you think about it, and you feel like, I don't know, you feel like you're going upwards and you feel like you're going forwards and you're very like into it, you know, that's mm-hmm. usually a sign from your intuition that this is a good choice for you. Like your energy is liking it. Your gut feeling is telling you that this is a good choice in that moment. But if you think of working out and you feel like going inwards and you're like dreading it and you just don't feel good and you feel like hiding and going in your bed already, then maybe that's a sign that you need to rest. And I always think of this before working out. I'm like, does this feel like it's an intuitive thing, or am I just like not feeling it today? And I just look at how my body reacts to that simple thought, and that helps so much. And for exercise itself, I think that the media and society has like made us believe that we need to sweat a lot and work out for long hours for it to be effective. That's so false. Like I literally just went for a 30 minute to 45 minute walk today, and this was amazing. Like we don't need to do complicated things for it to be an effective workout. We can just do things that we enjoy, like walking, yoga, short workouts. That's enough. That's great. That's perfect. So that's what I would recommend. Like don't overthink, don't overdo it. Just listen to your body and do what's right for you.
Such a great answer. As you were saying that, kind of like leaning forward, I talk about it with clients, like expansive versus contractive.
Yes.
So it's like you're expanding into it, like that kind of, yeah, like lean forward excitement. And if it's something you don't really want to do, like that gut feeling, it's like, yeah, it's like that contracting inward, like shoulders kind of turning inward, like a negative kind of feeling around it. So yeah, like where, what is it? Is it expansive or contractive? So good. Mm-hmm. And my last question for you, is the question that I ask all my guests, and I asked you this before, so we'll see if you have the same answer. If you had to weigh in on one thing that makes you happy, because the theme of my podcast is weighing in on happy, where weight does not make us happy, what would that be?
So one thing that makes me happy?
Mm-hmm.
I think that one thing that makes me happy is honestly, it's being myself, because I've worked so hard to be myself and to accept the person that I am. And, you know, obviously helping others is another thing, but I think that I can't help people if I'm not myself. So because I've avoided who I am for a very long time and hiding behind restrictive behaviors and self-hate, the fact that I'm able to just every day wake up, make decisions that reflect me as a person, like, that makes me so happy, because it has taken a lot of work. And this is something that I would never, you know, forget. Just being myself, I want to keep doing this every single day. And through this, I can help people and motivate others to do the same and love themselves throughout the process.
Amazing. And so such a good answer. You're looking at me like, oh, I don't know. Great. And so where can people find you?
So if people want to find me on Instagram, I actually just started a new recovery page. It's at Angels in Recovery, or they can also follow my main page, Katie.Angela. And I'm also on TikTok, Katie_Angela.
Amazing. And I'll put those below in the show notes as well, so people can easily find all those. And just again, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me.
My pleasure. It was beautiful. I love you so, so much.
Hey, you guys, thank you so much for listening to this amazing episode. If you enjoyed it as much as I did, then invite you to please rate and review on Apple. It means so much to me, and I would so appreciate you. Now, if you're interested to learn more about my one-on-one coaching program, 90 Days to Food Freedom, then please check out my website at www.victoriaevansofficial.com/programs, where you can learn more about how to work with me. And if you're not already following me on Instagram, please do. It's at Victoria Evans Official. Definitely shoot me a DM. I'm always doing little trainings, giving little tips, as well as sharing my stories. So I'd love to have you there. Oh, and I'm always dancing. And if you're looking for even more support, coaching, community, trainings, all of that, then definitely join my Facebook group, Intuitive Eating Support Group for Badass Women. And of course, all this will be below for you in the show notes. All right. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a fabulous day. Bye-bye.